great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
It's the name above all names.
Name above all names. Our God, oh, see how great is our God.
Sing it one more time. How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God, and oh, see how great. How great is our God.
Father in heaven, we just acknowledge your greatness and how good a Heavenly Father you are. We give you praise, give you glory. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you now as we open up your word. Just what we need. Words from heaven, not from any man, but words by the Holy Spirit. Meet us at our point of need. Father, you know how to, you know, it's impossible for me and myself to reach everybody here, but you can do it by the Spirit of God. So I trust you. Minister by faith today. Yield myself to the Holy Spirit. And so I thank you, and Lord, I pray for the congregation, Lord, that they have ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that are receptive and are open to you and hear and obey and act upon what they hear, Lord. So thank you for it. I give you praise. I pray for boldness, pray for utterance and clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Started a series on Discover Your Purpose. Just do a little bit of review, then we'll move on. Colossians 1, verse 15 says, we look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. Everything created. That includes us. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. And so we're not going to find our purpose for our lives. I want to know that and walk in that. You're not going to find it separated from God somewhere else. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up until this moment. And when it comes to the church, He organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. Purpose defined is the reason for which something is done or created, or the reason why something exists. There's a reason why we exist. There's a reason why we were born. And we need to know that. And God wants us to know that. And you'll see that clearly in just a moment here. But we need to know and understand our purpose here. Miles Monroe said this. He says, God has given us birth for a purpose. And as far as God is concerned, the purpose is already finished because He placed within us the potential for fulfilling it. Say, I have potential inside of me to fulfill my purpose. God created us with a purpose, and I love this. When He gave us our purpose, and He did this before we were born, when He gave us our purpose, He gave us all the gifts, all the abilities, all the provision, all the miracles, all the people, everything that needed to bring that purpose to pass. He's already given to us. It's in us. And He planned all of this before we were born. And God, the way He is, and unlike some of us, I'm not making any eye contact, not pointing at anybody, but God, when He starts something, He finishes it. How many projects at our house do we have that's not completed? Susie, don't raise your hand. I got this painting project that's been 2 years in the making, and it's like three quarters done. I'm going to get there before Jesus comes. Or we sell the house, you know, whatever. But he starts up and He completes it. Now, we've been talking about the actual mechanics, the actual process of discovering your purpose. I mean, I've learned some things, and the Word shows us some things. And there's a spiritual side, spiritual part, and a natural part. And last week, I touched on the spiritual part. After Randy Mitchell will be here next weekend, but after that, we'll get into the natural side. That may be one or two messages. Really looking forward to getting there. But I shared last week some of the spiritual parts of discovering your purpose. The first one is to have a heart that leans towards God. Have a heart that leans towards God, that's open to God. And then I said this, that your purpose and His purpose are going to be meshed together. They're not going to be separate. Your purpose is going to be in line with His purpose. The second thing I said is find yourself in the Word of God, the Bible. Find yourself in here. And, you know, especially in Paul's writings, he talks about who we are in Christ. We're in Him, by Him, through Him, who we are, tells us who we are. And then take the Word of God and personalize it and make it a confession. And I shared that example of Luke chapter 4 when Jesus read from Isaiah. And then He said at the end of that, today this scripture is fulfilled. And what was He saying? This scripture is about me. This is who I am. And all through, you know, you look through the Gospels, Jesus was constantly saying who He was, what He had, what He could do. And we need to do the same. And so I used the scripture from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 20. And it says that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. It says that we are ambassadors for Christ, that we are to reconcile people to God. And so what I've done, taken the Word and on purpose made it a confession, and I say it, I have the ministry of reconciliation. I reconcile people to God. I am an ambassador for Christ. Mark 16, I'll say, I lay hands on the sick. I cast out devils. I speak with new tongues. What am I doing? I'm speaking God's Word on purpose. And the first time you may say it, no difference. Maybe the first 10, 15, 20 times, I don't know. But eventually, your heart is going to believe what you're saying. And when that happens, that's the whole thing about faith. And faith will move mountains. Faith will change your circumstances. Faith will change your environment. And so when you start saying it, and when your heart, it's made to believe things. And when it believes the words that you're saying, that's when your world will change. And so this is vital to discovering your purpose, is to have your heart and your words lined up together. All right, let's get into the third point of discovering your purpose. Talking about the spiritual side, the third point is this. Trust the Holy Spirit to reveal your purpose to you. Trust the Holy Spirit to reveal your purpose to you. And then along with that, follow His leading. Follow His leading to fulfill your purpose. All right, I got some good scriptures to follow with this. Turn to John 14. John 14. Now, if I had to choose, and I don't, but if I, let's just say I had to choose between knowing my purpose or having a relationship with the Holy Spirit and following Him, I would choose following the Holy Spirit. Because if I know how to do that and how to listen and how to obey, that will lead me into my purpose. But John 14, are you there? John 14, verse 16, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter. I think New King James says helper. And that word is, in the Greek, it's the word paraclete, and we'll get into that in just a minute. And because what they're doing here in the Amplified is they're showing you what that word means, paraclete. I will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's all these things and more. That He will remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see Him or know and recognize Him. But you know and recognize Him, for He lives with you constantly, and He will be in you. I mean, this is so amazing of a plan, so brilliant of a plan, that a man has to die for our lives to be better. You know, when you have a loved one die, and you're talking about Jesus here and all that He brought to the table, but when you have someone close to you that's no longer here, you miss that person, and it seems to me, except for their benefit, if they're in heaven and they're doing better, I mean, that's a blessing to you. But to you, you miss them, and you don't want them to go. It doesn't make your life better. But Jesus dying and going to the cross made our lives better because, and it's a brilliant plan, because now the Spirit, instead of Jesus having to be with you physically, He can only be in one place at a time. Because he left, he sent His Spirit. And now the Spirit of God, the Bible says He's within us. He can now be in each one of us, and wherever we go, and He's here in abundance today. But when we leave and go out of here, the Spirit of God's going to go down to Charleston. My daughter's going on to school today. The Spirit of God's going down to Charleston, over to Augusta Christian School tomorrow. Wherever your school or work or wherever you go, or at Thompson. I don't know where Nate will be tomorrow. Probably, I don't know. I won't even say. But I mean, Fort Gordon, that is the awesome thing, because the Spirit of God is God. And when you're filled, we call, you know, the Bible says baptized in the Holy Spirit. Who's been baptized in water? And many of you, I've had the privilege of baptizing in water. And when I baptize somebody, I don't just like sprinkle them. I baptized someone one time and just was like partial of the head. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to dunk you again. Because when you baptize someone, they're submerged. Now, I don't hold them under there. You might be tempted. Wouldn't that be fun? But, you know. I get them in and I get them out. But their whole body is under the water because baptized means to be immersed. And so I don't think it's, I think they were very precise in their language when they said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, baptized with fire. Meaning that we will be immersed in the Holy Spirit. And when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that means you're filled. But then it says the Spirit of God comes up on you. And what comes up on you or fills you up? All that the Holy Spirit is. And that's very good news. And even the word another, it said it's another helper, another comforter. I did a little study on that word another. This is good now. This word another, if you, it means this, one besides Jesus, in addition to Jesus, but just like Jesus. He will do, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will do in Jesus' absence what Jesus would do if he were here physically. That's who we have in us. Now, why is it we're so down and depressed? Well, we forget who we are. And we forget that God's in me. It's a good way to start off your day every day. Look in the mirror and say, God is in me. The counselor is in me. The helper, the standby is in me today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's in me. He will counsel you about your purpose. He will help you discover and fulfill your purpose. He will help you to know the words to pray concerning your purpose. He will be your greatest advocate. Who wants to have an advocate? Someone standing up for you. He will be your greatest advocate for the fulfillment of your purpose. Do you ever feel sometimes alone? You're never alone. I love what Hebrews 13, I think it's verse 6, verse 8, right in there, especially in the Amplified, verse 5, thank you, Neil. And it says, I will never forsake you. I'll never leave you alone. Now, sometimes we want him to leave us alone, especially if he's asking us to do something we don't want to do. He will strengthen you. Anybody here today need strength? The strengthener is inside of you. And he will be your standby every step of the way. 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now, 100 years from now, all of eternity. He's going to be there. He said he'll remain with you forever. All right, let's go over to John 16. John 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, he's the Spirit of truth, truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will tell from the Creator, the one that created you, the one that knows how you operate and know how you're made. He'll talk to you specifically about you. But he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give that message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. Who needs to know some things to come? Anybody wants to know some things about the remainder of this year? Who we know it's going to be monumental. Who wants to know some things about next year? He wants to show it to you. He will honor and glorify me because he'll take of, receive, draw upon what is mine. And I love this. And he will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Verse 15, everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said it. That he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Now, I was looking at some journals. Does anybody here do journals? Several people. I was looking at some journals from 1983 and 1984. That was a trip. Stepping back in time. A little younger then. And I was in this particular journal was, I got saved in August of 82. I went to San Diego the following summer, summer of 83, with Campus Crusade for Christ. Came back and I was already enrolled in St. Cloud State, went back to school there. So it was really fall of 83 until I started ORU in August of 84. So it was about a year's period. And so I was just flipping through there, and it was just about my life and what I was thinking about and what I was praying about and what I was believing God for. And I came across something very interesting in July. We got something down there we need to catch?
We killed it.
Good job. Came across something interesting in July of 1984. You know what it said? It said, I had some of my goals and things I wanted to do. It said, to start a church. Isn't that interesting? To start a church. 21 years old, and one of my goals is to start a church. Now, I got saved, again, 1982, so I was 19. All of those 19 years, I never once had a thought about starting a church. I never once had a thought in 19 years. Never had a thought. I was in church. Mm-hmm. Went to Catholic schools. Never once had a thought about starting a church. Never once had a thought about going to Bible school. Never once had a thought about ministry in all those years. Not one thought. Now, my grandmother was praying I'd be a priest, but I was rejecting those prayers. That did not seem like the kind of life I wanted to live, to be a priest. But then I get saved in 82, filled with the Spirit in 83, and by July of 1984, I'm thinking about starting a church. And so that just shows me how I don't know, the word's not desperate, but how much God wants to get over to us, the plan for our lives. He showed me what I'd be doing in 2010 in 1984. And how did that come? And it didn't come the first time I wrote something down. I was in the Word of God, training myself how to hear from God, learning about planting seed and giving and spending time in prayer and learning about the Holy Spirit. And so I was young, not very old, mature in the faith, but already God's talking to me about purpose. And I made it, and I don't know why I'm like I am. I just went for the things of God. I don't know why some people are how they are. And I had a hard time when we started the church because I was just like, either you're 100% in and going to give your whole life to the church, or you can, there's the door, you're out. Seriously, you may feel it's tough here now, but I'm telling you, years ago, I mean, it was brutal. Seriously. I would have left that church if I'd been attending it. I mean, it was just because that was the way I am. I'm just so give your all, you know? And that's the way I was when I got saved. I was very passionate about it. I was very follow God at all costs. You know, do the will of God. I've got to do the will of God. I felt like Indiana Jones on some kind of treasure hunt, and, you know, just behind this door is some, you know, big gold treasure. I mean, it was that way. I was on this quest. It was an adventure. And so I just have a hard time understanding people. I understand people more now, you know, years later, where I'm at after pastoring for 15 years. But it's interesting, I wrote that then, and actually had started a church in Panama, by the way. I had a little hut church. We would meet like at midnight every night in some hut in the jungle. Had about four or five of us, and we'd have worship and no offerings. We didn't have any bills, so. But we had prayer and we had messages. So I guess I actually had pastored already. But we didn't start the church until 11 years later. 11 years later, and a whole lot of things happened between then. And there were times during those 11 years I felt like I was 1,000 miles or 100,000 miles away from where God was leading me. But so I don't know who this is for today, but I just want to encourage you today, because you may feel that right now, 100,000 miles away from where you know God spoke to you a long time ago. But I want to encourage you, the only thing you have to really know about your purpose, and it's good to know it, and it's good to, you know, be working and developing those gifts, and I'll get into that in another message. The only thing you have to know is, what is the next step? The Bible says, the steps of a righteous man or woman, righteous man or woman is what? Ordered of the Lord. It doesn't say leaps. Doesn't say jump in the Grand Canyon in an evil Knievel rocket. That's what we want to do. We get something from God and we think, man, I got to do something about it. And it may be, I don't know, but some things just take time. And obviously with me, I needed some refining. I needed some training. And my training did not make sense to me as far as someone training to be a pastor. But that's the route he had me to go. Anybody here ever been frustrated? Now, I'm not talking about having a bad day at the office, but I'm talking about being frustrated over a period of time. Anybody? Maybe 3 months, 6 months. How about a year? You ever been frustrated for a year? Yeah, we got hands. All right, well, this message is for you today. Praise God. I won't have you raise your hand, but how many are like totally frustrated right now? Don't raise your hand. I mean, do we like that feeling? Oh, I just want to wake up today and be frustrated. You know, and wouldn't you just like to really just say how you feel sometimes? They ask you in the hallway, how are you doing? And, you know, you say, fine. But wouldn't you like to say, I'm frustrated today. God's just not telling me anything today, and I feel 100,000 miles away from my plan. And, you know, wouldn't you just love just to... And they would say, I'm sorry I asked.
That's right.
I'm never going to ask you how you're doing again. I mean, if we ask them how they're doing, do we really want to know? Maybe we should just say, isn't it a fine day? And just walk on. Let's just make some confession. Don't ask him any questions. Just a thought. But I had a year of frustration in 1984. The year of frustration. I think in Chinese, that was I don't know what animal that was, but it was the year of frustration. 1994. Thank you, Susie. That's why I got you. Just the facts, ma'am. 1994 was a year of frustration. And it was the year that Susie and I almost killed each other. What? One of the years. Okay. Which were those other years? And it's not this year, is it?
Careful with jazz.
But it was brutal, and it was like we were just frustrated about our jobs, frustrated about where we lived, frustrated about different circumstances. And it wasn't like things were going bad. It's just like, I don't know, it was just inside, just a frustration about it. And so I just said, you know what I need to do? I need to get another job. See, if I get another job, that's just going to relieve all this. I'll make more money and blah, 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 and that will take care of the frustration. And so I just set off on this course to deal with this frustration. I'm going to apply for these jobs. And so I got a job, and it's really a cool job, as a controller at a chicken factory. That was my dream job. Oh, they offered me that job because I love chicken. Okay, I was offered that job. I applied out at SRS. I almost took a job, started my own accounting business, and that's the one where, you know, I'm about to turn in my resignation from my job at International Paper. Got a good job. I have it written out. About to turn it in, and I call Susie, and she says, why don't you call the guy I'm going into business with, why don't you call him one more time just to make sure everything's right? Because I'm frustrated. I want to do something. And so I call the guy. This was in 1994. He hasn't called me back yet. He hasn't called me. He hasn't emailed me. No letters. And I am so glad for my wife that I was smart enough to actually call her and then smart enough to actually listen to her. We were driving. The reason why I'm bringing, we drove by that where the office is, and Susie said, you could be working there. But then now, so I'm looking, and none of these, and not taking any of those, and I get a call from my brother in Tulsa. He works for Harrison House Publishers, and they are just booming. He's making six figures, and head of this division, and he started off in telemarketing. And so many, I mean, they're having 50% sales growth every year. And Pat and I, we're close, and we wanted to, you know, one day work together. And I just thought, man, just thinks this is it. And so I'm flying out to Tulsa for the interview, and I'm going, yeah, this is it. This is going to be, we're going to be moving. I'm already making plans. We're going to be moving out there. And then I go to the interview, and it's the interview from hell. It wasn't that I interviewed bad. It's the guy that I was interviewing with was having a really rough day. I waited 2 hours in his office. And every 5 minutes, he was coming out and said, I'll be right with you. And then I interview with him for 5 minutes. Oh, my brother was fuming mad. I don't know if they were having issues between the two of them. But he was fuming about it because he, you know, it was all working out. My brother Pat sent me a 60-page notebook about Tulsa and all the things. I mean, it had everything in there. He's trying to get me out there. And after that fiasco with the interview, I'm like, no. But they called me out again, and they interviewed, and I got the job, but I turned it down. Now, one thing I realized, so that was January of 1995, and so one thing I realized in the whole process, because every job I'm praying about, I'm in the Word of God, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit, one of the things I realized, and it took me months to realize this, that it wasn't so much about what I was to do, but I was praying about our future. And praying about change. And God was getting ready to do some things in me. And so I misinterpreted the purpose. I'm not saying God did this, but I misinterpreted the frustration. And how many times have we done that, left our jobs, left our cities, left our churches, and Susie said this first service, left our marriages out of frustration and misinterpreted what God was doing. And so by January, I was at peace. The frustration had left. And I was just in that mode, okay, God, I see you're wanting me to be sensitive. You're wanting me to listen to you. You're wanting me to follow you. Those were good opportunities, but they weren't right. And I had learned at this point in my life, I said, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do your will. And I know this about God. He transmits messages. And so I can know for sure on decisions I'm making. I don't have to guess. I can know. And all those were good things, but they weren't what he had for me. Because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows the path I need to go. He knows the path I need to go, if that is to start a church. He knows the path and the road I need to go. So once I got in that posture where I'm trusting God, I'm in faith now, I have no idea what's... Circumstances haven't changed, but I've changed, and the frustration has left, and I'm in a posture of looking to God and trusting God. In March, I was offered the controller job in Johnston, South Carolina, in my company, prayed about it, took that job. June was when we had the tent meeting, and from the tent meeting, the last night of the tent meeting, I'm in Friday's restaurant, and I raise my hands. Susie's there. David Horton's there. Other folks are there. I raise my hands and I'll say, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it, church. And I just think about that, how I could have so easily missed that. Could have been out in Tulsa. And, you know, just think about Good News Church and all that's happened. And I mean, just see, do you see the weight of issues? Decision. We just think sometimes, and I know, and we have our families, and we have needs, and they're so big, and we have to do what we got to do for our families, but we need to realize the decisions that we're making. These are decisions, not like, you know, where am I going to eat after church today? I'm not talking about that. Although sometimes, I mean, we heard about this building for sale at lunch by going to the right restaurant. So, I mean, but I really see the weight and the importance of these decisions that we make. And it's like Susie was sharing, the devil just backs us up in a corner and puts all this pressure. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to make a decision. When you feel that pressure, that's not God. God works by peace. God works by green lights, by that velvety feeling, that smooth feeling on the inside. Even in the midst of chaos, you can have peace in the midst of the storm. And so, I thank God, and we were both in this and both praying about it, and I thank God we didn't kill each other. But I thank God that we got that right. And made the right decision. And then once we made that decision, God helped us. We were so ignorant about starting a church, but God helped us. The Holy Spirit helped us. All those things that I said that counselor, standby, advocate, yes, intercessor, all those things kicked in. All right, let me go over to one of my favorite verses. And I actually found it in my journal. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, journal from 83 and 84, had this written in there. I just love the Word. The Word is so clear. It takes religion to get it all messed up. But just listen to these words. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Amen. Now, religion will stop right there. Oh, religion will say, well, you never know what God's going to do. It's all a mystery. He's in control, so it doesn't really matter what we do. It's all ordered by Him. You know what I'm saying? But you got to keep on reading. You can't pull that verse out. Oh, He's just, it's true, but, oh, His ways are just so much higher than ours. We're just these little insignificant humans, and we could never understand the great Creator. We're just these little peons down here, and He's the puppet master. Well, let's read the rest of this. And this is what my Bible says, and maybe let's make sure we're here on the same page here. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. That we might know, everybody say no.
No.
That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. If you are here today and you're frustrated about your life and your purpose, just rest. Now, I'm not saying not to do anything, but I say if there's frustrations there, it may be a time to spend a little more time in the Word. I'm not saying hours and hours, but let's put a little more time in the Word. The Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It can dig deep and find out what's really going on. And then let's just spend a little bit more extra time in prayer, maybe praying in the Spirit. You know, when you pray in the Spirit, I'm talking about praying in tongues. The Bible says you're praying the perfect will of God. How can that be a bad thing? To spend an extra few minutes praying in the Spirit, praying the perfect will of God. And then the Bible says that I pray in the Spirit, then I pray with my understanding. See, He wants you to understand. He wants you to know things. He showed me, again, back in 1984, what I would be doing in 2010. He'll show you things to come. And so if you're really frustrated, that may mean the change is coming. But so many times that change starts in you. He's trying to get you ready for what's coming. And the devil's going to try to use that to get you to make a decision you're going to regret. I made a decision when I was at ORU. He specifically spoke to me about going into ORU. But I thought, I'm going in the ministry. I need to go to Rhema. They do more specific training over there at Rhema, same city. I'll go there. And it cost me a year to get my life back in order to get back into ORU. I was frustrated about some of the things going on. And so use that time to press into God, because I think He has something for you. I think something's going on. Maybe change is coming, but you want to make sure you get it right. You want to, and let me just tell you this. You can make decisions and know it's the right thing. I know that this chair is green. I know that 5 + 5 = 10. I know that. You can't shake that out of me. I know that. I'm telling you today, and we're all at different places. Some have been practicing this for a long time. We're all at different places. And it may take you a little while to get in there, but start with the Word. That's a good place to start. Start acting on the Word. But as you start, you're going to grow in this, and you can actually know the decision you're making is the right one. And you need that, because adversity is going to come and try to test you on your decision. I know this is the right place, so God's helping me. He's going to help me through this situation. So I just command in the name of Jesus, frustration, go. Because I just want to tell you, in 1994, I could have been enjoying that year, but I was frustrated. I could have been enjoying it. And I say this all the time, you got to learn to enjoy the ride. We're always putting things off into the future. When this happens, I'll be better. When that happens, you're missing all this life that we're living, frustrated. When you could be at peace. And when you're all frustrated, it's difficult to hear and be at peace and hear from Him. And He'll show you your purpose. He'll show you how to fulfill that purpose, but then He'll show you the next step along the way. Amen? Now, I mentioned earlier about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you an opportunity to receive that today. Well, how do I know if I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit? This is something that's after salvation. One surefire way to know if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, do you speak in tongues? Now, I'm not saying, can you speak Spanish or French or German? I'm talking about a language that you do not understand. And it's the language of the Spirit. And that's a initial evidence that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. But there's so much that happens when you are filled. As far as in your relationship with God, I believe it's just the Bible just opens up. Power comes in your life. Boldness. Confidence. Just so many benefits. I mean, I don't even have time to go into it all. But I just want to say this. You are hindered from, I believe, you are hindered from your Christian walk by not being filled with the Spirit. Now, how do you receive? It's as simple as someone praying with you. A prayer. Just how did you get saved? I prayed a prayer with someone or prayed in a situation. I prayed it and I got saved. Just receiving the gift. And so I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Is there anybody here? You say, yes, Pastor, I want that. One hand right here. Who else? Let's just be bold. If you want something, get it. Who else would like that? Raise your hand. Say yes. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God to overflowing. Praise God. Sister, why don't you come up here? Everybody stand, please. I want you to go with these two folks, and they're going to pray with you, and you are going to receive. It's going to be an awesome day. You want to ask your neighbors? Susie thinks we ought to ask our neighbors. All right, let's ask our neighbors. With those around you, ask them if they want to come up to receive the Holy Spirit. And if they're open, bring them on down. Now, if you're here and you're filled with the Spirit of God, I want you to start looking.